Well, good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Good. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for inviting me up here. I've never been to Scotland before, so this is a first, you can see. Now, I know some of you here will be familiar with some things to do with crop circles, and particularly with Professor Archie Roy down there. I'm sure some of you know something, but I also know, from what I can gather, some of you will know nothing. What I'm going to do today is to hopefully cater for all sides in this. Those of you who don't know the background to the crop circles, hopefully you will know a little bit more than you're starting with at the other end of this talk. Those of you who think that you know everything there is to know about it, I would like to say to you that it's time to remind ourselves just where this mystery has come from. And look at the overall shape of it and history, because it's easy to get blasé about this mystery. Lots of people have lots of different ideas about it, but it's easy to think that you know all there is to know, only to discover when you start to look back at the trajectory of this strange phenomenon that in fact there's things that we all forget, including myself. So we're going to look today at sort of where this mystery has come from, how it's developed, and look at some of the theories which may or may not explain it. Now, my organisation, Southern Circular Research, has been running for 12 years now, and we run a website, and we hold public meetings. There's a sheet of flyers here with some websites on it if anybody wants to know more. And we do not have one belief system about what's going on in the crop circle world. We do not. And if anybody came here today wanting an answer to the crop circle mystery, the door is there. Because the honest truth is, nobody is quite sure what is going on. But that said, I count myself amongst the people who believe that whatever is going on, that there is more to this than just men with planks of wood and garden rollers. Now, this is what we're usually told must be the answer. When you see the TV or you read the newspapers, we're continually given this story that all crop circles must be made in this way. And whilst I do not know what the exact answer to this is, I do hope to show why I at least believe that there is more to this than meets the eye. And at the very, very least, I believe we have something here that demands greater attention than it has received up to now. So, Tricia, if we could turn the lights off at this point, make sure you can see the screen and everybody's happy, and we shall embark. I mean, the darker the better, as far as I'm concerned. You really, you'll be pleased to hear, you do not need to see me at all. That's as dark as it goes, is it? Yep. Okay. Okay. I don't know if anybody minds just popping up to the projector box, just focusing that a little bit more. It doesn't seem to focus perfectly down here. If somebody could just twiddle the lens just a second, because it's important that we see these as sharp as we can. It's not bad, but it could be better. And I know we can get that better. Hold on. Thanks, Pat. That's better. Yep. Much better. Yeah, lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, where does this begin? Because most people think that crop circles are, you know, a relatively modern phenomenon, and the general perception is that they've been around for maybe 10 or 15 years. But there are, in fact, many pieces of evidence which suggest that these things have been going on for rather longer than that. Now, this has become very famous in the crop circle world. This is what's known as the mowing devil. Now, this is an illustration which appeared in a pamphlet which was issued in Hertfordshire in 1678. And it told the story of this farmer who had these strange circles appearing on his land. Now, what the story describes and what the illustration that you see here shows is so close to what we would today recognise as at least a basic crop circle that there's little doubt in many people's minds that people were dealing with the same thing back then. And this report puts it down to being the work of the devil, they can find no other rational explanation as to what could have made this shape in the field. So there is the devil shown making the circle. Now, if that were the only historical account of a crop circle, you could maybe say that it was a coincidence, it just happens to look a bit like one. But there are, in fact, around 250 documented archive accounts of crop circles, and there are even photographs of them going as far back as 1932, is the one we've most recently unearthed at a place called Bow Hill, which is near Chichester in West Sussex. So this is not just a modern prank. This is something which has been going on for a very long time. But it is fair to say that it wasn't really until the 1970s onwards that we began to see more reports of these things coming to light. And to begin with, they really were crop circles in the truest sense of the word. Because one of the more controversial aspects to this whole mystery is that over the years, these shapes have not stayed the same. They've not stayed the same. This has been one of the biggest points of debate, is that the shapes have evolved. They have grown more complicated over the years. And as I'm sure you can imagine, this has caused much arguing. But to begin with, they really were crop circles before the name became outdated. And what we're looking at here is quite simply a swirl of flattened crop. The crop is not cut. It is not dead. It's just been laid flat at the base of the stem at a 90 degree angle and swirled around, sometimes anti-clockwise, sometimes clockwise, sometimes radially, sometimes a combination of these. The crop has very little, if any, evidence of any damage having occurred to it in the majority of cases. And we'll have a look at the insides of some crop circles as we go through. The first serious study of crop circles was really carried out by the meteorologists, and not least a chap called Dr. Terence Meaden. And he was convinced that this was evidence of rare weather phenomena at work here, some kind of electrically charged mini whirlwind, which he called the plasma vortex. And this seemed at the time a very reasonable hypothesis to have, that this was some rare, you know, mini tornado or something spinning down the crops. And for a while, that seemed like that was going to pretty much wrap it up. But then a strange thing began to happen. And that was that as we got through from the 1970s and into the 1980s, not only did they seem to be growing more numerous, but they were also growing more complicated. And when we started to get patterns like this, suddenly the game plan had changed. And I suppose it was about this time when the UFO buffs suddenly arrived on the scene and said, well, it's obvious what's going on. I mean, clearly this is where a flying saucer has landed in the field and left this marking and then flown away again. Well, it quickly became apparent that that was not the answer. But the other reason people time and again spoke about these strange lights, you know, hovering over crop circles, was that strange lights are seen hovering over crop circles, seen coming down into fields where crop circles are subsequently discovered, or videoed, photographed, witnessed many times in and around existing crop formations. And we can have a look at one of these crop circle lights in this shot here. This is a frame from a video taken over a particular crop circle in 1999. And there up here you see the classic crop circle light, this spherical beach ball size light. Now in the original video of this, and it's just one of many very similar videos taken over the years, the light moves around the formation almost as if it knows what it's doing, and then it speeds off with great acceleration. This is so typical of what's been seen on so many different occasions over the years. Now, there are arguments about what these lights are. To some people, any strange light in the sky is a UFO, and instantly you've got all the connotations and all the baggage that comes with that. But other people think there's a more natural explanation for them. Some people think it's related to ball lightning, for instance, or some kind of natural plasma. But whatever it is, it's either being attracted to the crop circles or the crop circles are generating them. It cannot be ignored that light phenomena is an important part of the crop circle mystery. And I myself saw these lights back in 1993, and I can assure you they exist. And to be honest, even the sceptics now pretty much agree that they do exist, but the arguments are why they are being attracted to the crop circles. So this is where this whole idea that there might be some other intelligence involved began to grow. And, you know, that wasn't really taken that seriously for a little while. But by the end of the 1980s, we were getting reports coming in from around the world. Now today, we're just looking at England, because that's where I have my experience, but it is a global phenomenon. Most countries report crop circles at some point or another. For instance, places like Germany gets a lot. Canada has an increasing amount, even places like Italy. It's not just England, but for some reason, we seem to get the lion's share in England. And the reasons for this have been much debated. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But everybody thought, well, it's probably gone as far as it can go now. A few symmetrical patterns, it'll just fade away and we can all forget about it. But instead, in 1990, the whole thing took a massive leap forward with the arrival of things like this. Now, suddenly, there were circles, and there were rings, like we'd seen before, but now linked together in these long symbolic chains. That seemed to be what they were. They were symbols, surely. This was the year when the newspapers began to report these things with great gusto. They were appearing, you know, on the front pages, and these reports saying, what could this mean? Is this a message from an extraterrestrial? Tourists flocked down to some of the fields where many of these formations were appearing. Places like Wiltshire, for instance, that whole sort of 30-mile radius around Stonehenge and Avebury, these ancient sites, that seemed to be the epicentre, and indeed still is, even today. But other counties have had crop circles over the years. Indeed, Scotland's had a number of crop formations over the years, although they are rarer up here. So nobody now really knew what to think. And, you know, everybody was talking about crop circles, but nobody seemed entirely enlightened as to what this could really mean. Now, just to pause the story briefly, just to show you the inside of a particular crop circle, just as an example of what you find. This was photographed down near Brighton in Sussex in 1992. And there you can see, you've got this sort of unfolding fan of crop in the middle there, spinning around. The crop is not trampled down into the ground. It is not damaged. Now, in young green crop in particular, it's very easy to see where the stems get damaged, not least because this crop has this kind of silvery grey bloom that grows on the stems. And if you stroke that with your finger, that bloom will come off. When you walk on young crop like this, you yourself can see the footprints that you leave. Bear in mind that many formations over the years have appeared on nights of pouring rain when the soil beneath the crop is just muddy slush. So when you walk in a crop circle in those wet conditions, you will leave muddy footprints everywhere. I've seen it happen. Again, these are not found when you enter a new pristine formation in wet conditions in the majority of cases. Now they're flowing around the centre, going around and with this very fluid motion going out to create the rest of the circle. You've got this beautiful sort of flow of stems, and you can often lift up that top layer of flat crop and find another layer running underneath in a different direction. Now this layering, this weaving that we have seen in many formations over the years is just one thing that has never been replicated by any man-made formation. Now, all the known man-made formations that I have personally studied, and my colleagues too, have all displayed one very obvious thing, and that is a crimping on the stems. Now, there's one particular team of human circle makers, for instance, that call themselves Team Satan, which tells you everything. And they reckon themselves to be the best circle makers in the world. Well, in their works that we've seen, there are crimp marks in two places on the stem where the plant goes down and goes crunch once, crunch again. And this is very obvious to see. This is not what is found, again, in most cases. And this is very, very important. Standing in that same formation, again, is just a good example. We're looking back towards the smaller circles from standing within a bigger one. There's this pathway connecting the two, and you can just see the crop spilling out very beautifully there. The crop is not trampled down into the ground. Their seed heads are still completely intact. Now, jump up and down on top of a piece of crop for a while, and you'll soon see what happens. What is most interesting is that the most important scientific research carried out into crop circles is hardly ever spoken about in the media. Which is rather a shame, because there is some science which shows, it would seem, that there are effects going on inside the circle-affected crop that simply cannot be easily explained away. Now, some of the best work's been carried out by a chap called W.C. Levengood, who's based in Michigan in the United States. And he was a biophysicist who was first approached back in the very early 1990s and didn't really expect to find anything in the stems, and then was astonished by what he found. Over the years, various laboratories have now replicated his work. And we don't have much time to go into this, but suffice to say, there are anomalies occurring at a microscopic level which you would not expect to find in a usual piece of crop, and which does not occur as a result of manual flattening. Now, just to pluck one example, the young embryonic seed heads in a young green crop like this are notably mutated when compared to samples taken from the outside of the formation. And if you want to know more about this kind of work, have a look at the sheet of websites here, and look at the website for bltresearch.com, and it shows you a lot of the work which has been carried out over the years in these realms. Now, over the years, I and my colleagues and various people have been involved with putting together articles for, you know, newspapers, and helping journalists make TV programs. You always give them this information, and you can almost guarantee it will not even be mentioned in the final product. And when you go back to the journalists and say, well, why didn't you mention all the science? They always say the same thing. Well, you know, we can't explain that in a 30-second soundbite. Meaning, in other words, they think you're all too stupid to understand it. So they won't bother to try to explain it to you. And the way that the science of crop circles has been underreported actually borders on the criminal. Because for some people, this is one of the major reasons they still believe something is going on here, which is beyond the usual answers we're offered. So bear in mind, as we go through looking at pretty pictures here, there's more to this than just flattened crop. A lot more. And you can look at a formation from the air and see all sorts of interesting things, but you can also go inside and at a ground level find a lot of very intriguing information. Now, if 1990 had been impressive, 1991 was even more so. And when we started to get patterns like this, it was by now quite apparent that, yes, they surely were symbolic. Could they be accidental? People started to look at the geometry of them, the mathematical construction, and realised that these things had to be more than just where someone had randomly wandered around a field at night. People argued about what they meant. Some said they were alien symbols, some said they were alchemical or occult or religious. They seemed to be all and none of these things at the same time, but mathematically they had something to say. And when you analyse them, you could extract all sorts of tangents and alignments and harmonic proportions through looking at the mathematics. There have been whole new mathematical theorems derived just by looking at the data contained in crop circles. The recently late Professor Gerald Hawkins did a lot of very interesting work comparing, say, crop circles with what he calls the diatonic ratio, which we haven't got time to go into today. And at the very least, either these are being made with a very calculated, premeditated, aim in mind, which is what many people believe, or at the very least, they are obeying very strict mathematical laws. Now, staying in 1991, and obviously we're just plucking one or two formations from each year here out of several hundred that we could have chosen, this, of course, was another very mathematical pattern. And this was kind of important because this was the first truly recognisable symbol that we'd had. This is what's known as a fractal shape. Now, over the years, scientists have been toying with fractals, and all that is to give a very poor explanation. If you take a simple equation and you loop it over and over and over on itself, and you display it visually using a particular computer program, you get these incredibly complex, swirling, infinite patterns. It's used to demonstrate chaos theory and the such like. And one of the patterns that emerges from that process is this, the Mandelbrot set, as it is known. So suddenly people could point to this and know what it was. It wasn't just the typical ambiguous symbol. So then new theories began to grow. Some people said, well, maybe somebody's got some fantastic computer equipment somewhere and they've learned to project these shapes out there into the fields. Maybe it's the military making them. Now, the only trouble with those theories is that you've then got to say what technology has been used, unknown. Why would the military make them in such public spaces and then spend the rest of their time debunking them as they seem to do? There's plenty of land that the military could test anything they liked on that you and I will never see. Why do it so obviously? So other people began to reach for different explanations. Some people said, well, look, nature is fractal. Fractals are not an invention of computers. All we've done is discover the way nature proliferates. Look at a butterfly's wing, or the way a fern grows, or the way a galaxy swirls, and you will see fractals all around you in nature. Maybe this could be a natural force, after all, even some of the more complex patterns. For instance, we know that snowflakes are very symmetrical, they are natural. The science of cymatics, where you pass sound waves through particles of sand or water, can produce astonishingly geometric shapes. But other people said, yeah, but some of them are too intelligent looking, and yet they seem to be made in very similar ways. So you can see by 1991 already, people were splitting off into different camps as to what they believed. And the arguments over the years have got so heated that there have been people falling out with each other, all sorts of hassles, where people cannot agree on what this is. But at the same time, that lack of agreement is one of the most exciting things about it, because it creates such an incredible forum for debate over the nature of reality. So before we get on with looking at galleries of lovely pictures, let's just look at some of the theories which were being explored as early as the 1990s. And obviously one of the most commonly held theories is that crop circles are the result of a message from some higher intelligence, created in such a way as to initiate communication without any fear or panic being generated. So the theory runs that instead of hovering in gigantic spaceships over our cities and having us screaming, running through the streets, what you do is just make little patterns which slowly get people's attention, then you build them up a little bit more and a little bit more year upon year, until suddenly we're just going, oh, that's nice, I wonder what we'll get tomorrow. We're not saying, oh my God, we're talking to aliens. Now, that theory is well and good to a degree. Lights in the sky are there. They are there. I think that's beyond debate, and there's a lot of video evidence out there to be seen by one and all, if you care to find them. But flying saucers, structured craft, rarer. Been seen, but much rarer. By and large, the lights which are seen in and around crop circles are these more amorphous spherical lights. If you're going to say that this is a message from some higher intelligence, there are some questions to be answered, one of which is this. Why, if you're going to say hello to mankind in a big way, why wouldn't you make them to the same degree right around the planet? Why does England get so many, whereas a country, say, like America, with vast fields, only gets a handful of crop circles every year? What's the logic behind that? And people wondered over the years, is there a unifying factor that explains why crop circles seem to cluster in certain areas that maybe will shed some light on this? And indeed, there does seem to be one unifying factor, and that is geology. Now, this is a map of southern England, as an example, by Brian Grist, showing you what's called the aquifers. That is any rock that carries a lot of water, chalk, greensand and limestone being the major areas. Now, when you map out on top of here where most of southern England's formations have appeared, certainly almost 98% of them maybe, they hug these areas exclusively. And interestingly, more so on the edges of these areas rather than in the middle. It is a belief of many that underground water is in some way firing up some natural energy field that is being utilised to produce these shapes, either by some outside intelligent force, or it's coming from some more natural source which has nothing to do with anything up there. Either, if you're going to say there's an intelligent force at work, either they are trying to attract our attention to specific places on the Earth's surface, or they're restricted to working with our own natural energy fields. Or maybe that isn't the answer. Now, in the early days of crop circle research, some of the first people to get involved, besides the meteorologists, were dowsers. And it was the dowsing community said very early on, crop circles always seem to appear in strong underground water sources. And more recent geological work has borne that out to be absolutely correct. They also believe, as indeed many cultures around the world do, and I'm sure some of you here may do, that there is a natural grid of what they call earth currents or earth energies which exists in the planet. And that the crop circles, they tell us, always appear in conjunction with these areas of natural energy. And there is one widely held theory in some quarters that the Earth itself may be producing these shapes just as a natural function. Nothing to do with aliens or anything like that. That these shapes are welling up through natural processes on particularly energetic spots on the Earth's surface. However, some of the shapes do seem to display what you can only describe as intelligence. And yet they seem to be made in identical ways. Now, how could that be explained? So some people have tried to twist this theory a bit and said, well, okay, well, maybe it's Mother Earth, Gaia. Maybe Earth is a thinking, living being, and it's trying to communicate with us by creating these symbols on its own surface. Other people even think nature spirits make crop circles. To be honest with you, there are so many different theories, and yet all we're usually allowed for in the newspapers is it's either hoaxes or it's little green men. You're not often allowed much in between, but in fact, there are many, many variations. And not least, here's another theory, which is perhaps far stranger. Now, there you see a typical crop circle researcher at work in a film. I just use this to illustrate that many people think that crop circles may be a projection from the collective mind of humankind. Now, that may sound crazy, but there are many instances of people having dreams or premonitions of certain shapes appearing at certain places and then bang, they've arrived. There have been several groups, including our own down in Sussex, who've carried out work trying to see if you could influence the creation of certain crop circles using, for want of a better word, the power of the mind, with very high success rates. Now, we carried out one particular controlled experiment where we had a particular shape in mind. Lo and behold, that night, exactly that shape appeared out there in the fields. Now, we didn't make it. Nobody else knew of the work we were carrying out. What were the odds of that? But other groups have had similar experiences many, many times. It seems that your mind somehow are hooking up with whatever it is that's creating these shapes and seemingly influencing them. Now, when you look at the work, as I'm sure many of you here will know, that's gone in to looking to ESP, telekinesis, whatever, it does seem that there is a large amount of evidence to support the fact that the human mind does affect the material world. And I'm particularly very interested at the moment in the Global Consciousness Project, which I'm sure some of you will know about, where they've left what they call these random number generator computers running away to themselves in sealed rooms. And they've discovered that when many people around the planet share a thought, these computers seem to react in very strange ways and produce sequences of numbers that they're not really supposed to at the exact moments these large global collective events occur. Now, much more work needs to be done into this, but the results are very compelling. 9/11, for instance, Princess Diana's funeral, are just two typical examples of when these computers seem to react. And it seems to suggest that there is indeed a consciousness field of some kind that surrounds us all that does affect, on some subtle level, the material world. And some people think that the crop circles may be some outer manifestation of this. Now, through what mechanism is an unknown, and that is the weakness of the theory. However, many people do believe there is something to this that needs further exploration. And if anybody is coming to Pat Thomas' group on Saturday, I'll be talking much more about the psychic interaction work that we did down in Sussex, as well as covering some of the same stuff today. One of my books on the table there goes into this much, much more, and we don't really have time to go into this today. But it's another theory which cannot be dismissed, and at the very least, the human mind may be a link in a chain of whatever it is that's creating these shapes. Now here's somebody else asleep in a crop circle. We do actually do some work sometimes. I just use this to illustrate. Over the years, many people have claimed their health has been affected after visiting crop circles. Now, some people say that they can feel these natural energies coursing through them when they enter a crop circle. They can feel it in their bodies, don't even need dowsing rods. And some have, you know, given tales of miracle cures taking place through having entered a crop circle. Others, however, have come out reporting themselves having been very ill for weeks afterwards. Now, some of that could be psychosomatic, yes. Some of that could be pesticide allergy. Remembering, you don't know what you're walking through when you go into these fields. You see the drums of chemicals they spray on them. However, there's other stuff which is harder to explain. Electronic equipment, for instance, often malfunctions within crop circles, above statistical chance. That kind of often. Video cameras, mobile phones, on many occasions have been known to not work or to badly malfunction inside a crop circle, and yet you can take them out and they work absolutely fine. Go back in and they seem to malfunction again. Combine harvesters have been known to break down as soon as they've gone to cut a formation. I've had at least one farmer tell me absolutely categorically that he was going across the centre of a formation down in Sussex, and as soon as he cut across the centre, the motor of the combine just cut dead. And it took them 3 days to revive it, and the combine had to sit in the middle of the crop circle for 3 days before they could get it to work. Now, when farmers tell you that they're convinced that it was the crop circle that did it, you're really getting something interesting there, because they're not generally given to seeing crop circles in that kind of light. So something is going on here beyond mundane shapes in the fields, and some people think that these things radiate and focus this natural energy we were talking about. For instance, underground water and various rock forms, particularly quartz, are known to produce piezoelectric fields. Piezoelectric fields have been detected at crop circles before, and various electrostatic readings, a lot of interesting stuff in those realms. So this could be what people are feeling when they're entering the crop circles. Anyway, by 1991, all these different ideas were coming about. The very first biological tests were being carried out by Levengood in the United States. It seemed that here was a mystery that was not just going to be easily explained away overnight. But of course, you can always rely on the great British press to do their bit. Because suddenly, in the autumn of 1991, this story broke in the newspapers about the men who conned the world. Exposed. Two artists admit they pulled off the Great Corn Circles hoax for 13 years. Well, we know for a fact that crop circles have been going on for a lot longer than that. But putting that aside just for a minute, how did these two retired gentlemen, Doug and Dave, as they called themselves, say they'd made them? Well, it was just a simple plank on a piece of string and round and round the trudge. No marking out or anything like that, you know, and this miraculous geometry would just materialise somehow at their feet. Now, two things to be said about this. First of all, the public believed it. Without any doubt at all, this was the most damaging story that has ever occurred in crop circle history. Even to this day, you get people come up and say, "Oh, it's those two old blokes, weren't it?" The fact that one of them has been dead for 8 years now is neither here nor there. The other thing was that the media loved it. I mean, this was the ultimate silly season story. These two lovable British eccentrics having a good old giggle with these pompous pseudo-scientists who've been saying how marvellous this whole thing was. Now, the thing about this is, if you were to, say that you could materialise pink elephants out of thin air, somebody is going to say, "All right, then do it." Well, when Doug and Dave were actually challenged to make crop circles for the television cameras, it soon became rapidly apparent that what they were making was a pathetic, pale shadow of what was actually normally occurring out there in the fields. They were terrible messes inside. The lay of the crop bore no resemblance whatsoever to many of these fantastic formations we've been getting. They were messy, the geometry was flawed, the formations were small compared to what we were seeing out there in the fields. It soon became apparent, the more they were investigated, that Doug and Dave could not explain more than a small proportion of this phenomenon. Now, many people think that they were a put-up job, a front for a story designed to diffuse interest in the crop circle mystery. And if that sounds a little bit paranoid, it's just worth bearing this in mind. At the end of the story here, it says copyright MBF Services in tiny letters there. And MBF Services was supposedly the press agency which put out the Doug and Dave story. But when some earlier researchers, I think George Wingfield was one of them, actually tracked down MBF Services, it turned out to be a company that had connections to MI5. Now, what do MI5 have to do with Doug and Dave? Well, some people think quite a lot. Now, over the years, a few other people have come forward to say that they make crop circles. And every year, we see somebody else on the television and they make a crop circle of a kind and they turn to the cameras and say, "There you are, I've made one." That explains everything. But it doesn't explain everything by long chalk. Because when you look at the man-made formations which are created and you compare them like for like, you find that they are different. The damage is usually quite apparent inside. The geometry is usually flawed, to say the least. They are a quarter of the size and the complexity of what we usually see, and they produce no interesting scientific effects at all. And most interestingly of all, I think, is the time it takes to make a reasonable man-made formation. Now, in 1992, a competition was held to see how good a man-made formation could be. And various teams sweated through the night at West Wickham to create these fairly modest formations. And what was quite interesting was that the quickest team took several hours to make a formation barely 30 feet in length. And over the years, various other human demonstrations have shown that you need a good 5 to 6 to 8 hours plus to make some of these more complicated formations. And we'll see an example of that just a little bit later on. Now, bear in mind, at the height of summer, you've barely got 5 hours of darkness in which to cover your tracks. If you're a hoaxer, you will work at night. Are you going to get caught? Farmers are up and about very early. There are around 10,000 recorded formations now. That's quite a lot of work for nobody to have ever actually been caught in the act. And bear in mind, on some nights you get several major patterns, on occasion in an identical style, across several counties in one night, when even one of these formations, on the basis of what we've seen from the human circle makers, would be more than a night's work. So this time frame is very, very important. And I'm not saying to you there are no man-made formations. Of course there are man-made formations. There is no area of interest known to man that doesn't fall prey to trickery or imitation. It's just the way of things. So yes, there is a proportion of man-made formations out there. You have to decide for yourselves what that proportion is. But there is also a significant proportion of formations which cannot be explained so easily. And this gets forgotten in the rush to interview men with planks of wood. There's a lot of other evidence out there that goes far beyond that. So what they make can be all very pretty if you don't know what the real thing is, but it's a different phenomenon. And what they make, human circles, and shall we say the more mysterious circles, appear to be two different things, though there is a superficial likeness. Well, by 1994, we were getting such extraordinary patterns that some of the interest, which had gone away as a result of Doug and Dave, was beginning to come back. Doug and Dave said they were retiring in 1991, they weren't going to make any more, so who was making all the crop circles now? But interest crept back, and people, you know, noted things like the excellence of the execution. I mean, the tips of these crescents goes down to the width of one stem. I mean, the ingenuity involved here is very, very impressive. And sometimes seeing these formations in the landscape is educational. There's that same formation seen with the scenery around it. Now, this is at a place called Oliver's Castle, which is an Iron Age hill fort in Devizes, in Wiltshire. And many crop circles appear near ancient sites. Stone circles, hill forts, burial mounds. Now, the Dowsers believe that ancient man instinctively knew where these areas of earth energy and the underground water were, and they placed their sites in these deliberate places to tap that. Well, if crop circles utilise the same qualities to be created, it stands to reason they would cluster in the same areas. So maybe that's why there is this connection with ancient sites. But on the afternoon that I took this particular photograph, I mean, Oliver's Castle is a picnic spot. There's always people up there flying kites and kids running around, whatever. Just it was an interesting little snapshot of what the crop circles do, because everybody up on that hillside was gazing down in awe and wonder at the shape, having the most remarkable discussions about what could have put it there. And some were saying it had to be aliens. Others were saying, no, this is a message from God. Others were talking about, you know, life, the universe and everything, just because that was there. Now, if that had not been there and it had been a blank field like most days, people would have probably just been chatting about EastEnders or whatever, like any other day of the week. But this is what the crop circles do. They make people look beyond the mundane. They make people think about things that they wouldn't normally approach in day-to-day lives. And that, I think, is in itself a gift. They have caused many people to stop and wonder what they mean, where they have come from, and what the nature of the universe actually might be, in a way that they hadn't thought about before. And wherever these come from, whatever you personally choose to think makes them, is actually irrelevant. They have already had a profound effect on many, many people. And, you know, if you can get people to use their brains these days, you've really achieved something. I think you can intellectually try to interpret these and sometimes come up trumps. But subliminally, we seem to understand them, I think, far better than our intellectual minds do. And some people think they're waking up little triggers in the back of our minds. But that said, there are some formations which clearly are demonstrating very specific things. Now, this is one of several star map formations we've had over the years. Very accurate astronomical diagrams. This was one of three which appeared in 1994. And what it shows you is the constellation Cetus. Link these up. You've got the constellation Cetus, Cetus the whale, as it's known. You've got Mars, Saturn and Jupiter in a triangular configuration. You have the Moon in a very particular phase. What that is showing you is a map of that part of the sky as it would be 6 years later on the night of the 6/7 of April 2000. It's actually so accurate you can tell the time. It is showing you midnight GMT on the 6/7 of April 2000. Now, the next question beyond how could this possibly be the work of Joe with a garden roller in one hand and a star map in the other in the middle of the night, the next question was, okay, what does it mean? What of significance is going to happen on that night? Well, eventually that night came, of course, and there was that constellation with that alignment in it up there for all to see. On that night, in the year 2000, we had one of the biggest solar storms that we'd had in nearly a century. Satellites were knocked out, power grids went down. The Northern Lights, the aurora, was seen from countries where you wouldn't normally see it from. You could see it from the south coast that night. And an increasing number of people believe that solar particles play a big part in the evolution of life on this planet. I know that Maurice Cotterill has written a lot about it, for instance. And he's been mapping, for instance, the rise and fall of human civilizations over the years against the longer-term sunspot cycle and found some quite disturbing correlations. And some people think the behavior of the sun has a lot of effect on us as a species. Well, it's just interesting to note that this year there was another formation in 1995 which showed the inner solar system with the planets and exactly the position they would be for the 6th of September 2003. Now, nothing immediately apparent happened on that day, but, interestingly, from the beginning of that period, the Sun has just gone into one of its most active cycles ever recorded. We've had the two largest sunspots yet recorded, the largest solar flare ever recorded. The Sun's cycle seems to be quite disturbed at the moment. It has an 11-year cycle, which at the moment it's not sticking to. So many people think that not all, but some of these formations may be telling us something about the Sun, because we've had over the years various formations showing stars, planets, solar symbolism, radiation symbols, magnetic field symbols, and indeed genetics. And some people think there may be some theme running through at least some of the crop circles. Now, whatever else it meant, I'll just show you a brief shot of the inside of it. It's often not till you get inside these things that you realise how beautiful they are. And the way the crop flows around so fluidly is something which has to be seen to really understand that this is not just crudely crunched. Incidentally, there is a formation which shows a date coming up for next year, which we'll come to in a couple of slides' time. However, the masterpiece of 1994 was generally reckoned to be this formation. Now, this is one of those cases where you have to ask yourselves, what would you do if you were going to draw it? Now, if you're going to draw this on a piece of paper, you'd probably use a compass, because there's lots of arcs in it. So, you could argue, Joe the hoaxer stood there, they made a semicircle, they let the rope out a bit more, and they made another one, and they let it out more, and they made another one, and so on. But what you find when you analyse the geometry of this formation, and I've seen this wrong in a number of books, incidentally, when you look at the actual survey details, you discover this, that each one of these arcs, all the way around the pattern, has a separately calculated centre mark that moves outwards by several feet for each one. So to make this, you've got to perfectly calculate every single arc all the way around the 350-foot across pattern and not go wrong once. Once the crop is flat, it is flat. You can't make it stand up again. Half-finished formations are very rare. Geometrical errors are very rare in crop circles. There's something whole and complete about them. And yet you would think, given the 10,000 or so formations, human error alone would dictate there would be more which have gone wrong. And interestingly, the first two arc points are not within here even, they're out here in the standing crop. So where's the mess these people have left trying to find their centre marks? Many formations require geometrical marker points to be placed outside of the formation in standing unaffected crop, and yet there's no evidence that anything has walked out there. And walking through crop without leaving a trail is exceedingly difficult, to say the least. This formation appeared in Sussex at a place called Cissbury Ring in 1995. Fantastic off-centre geometry. Interesting to note the new Top of the Pops has just adopted this as its logo. That's accidental, or they got inspiration from this, I'm not sure. And still in 1995, back to astronomy again. This is a map of the Earth's inner solar system, showing all the planets except for one. We have a ring marking our orbit, but the Earth is not marked on the map. So there's a map of the solar system, the inner part of it, and no Earth. Now, this sort of troubled some people, because some people see the crop circles as a portent of some coming celestial catastrophe. And there is this kind of catastrophic view of crop circles, that they are a warning. And, you know, a map, no Earth, oh dear, what could this mean? Now, all I can say to that is, if it is a warning, surely it must bring with it something which helps us get through whatever it is it's warning us about. Otherwise, what's the point of going to all this trouble just to say that we're going to go bang next week? That doesn't quite add up to me. But what we can say is this, is that obviously these planets will fall into this position every few years or so. And just interesting to note, they will be back in this position next year on the 6th of April 2004. And the Earth, in fact, will be here in what's called inferior conjunction with Venus, right next to Venus. Now, what it means, we don't know, but it is another date being very clearly denoted. This is not a joke. You do not go out every night of every summer perpetrating this kind of beauty with these genius skills and mathematics just for a prank. If these are all being man-made, and it's clear to you, I personally don't believe that, but if you want to believe that, you've got to say to yourself this, that there must be a very serious agenda. This isn't just what you produce when you fall out of the pub at midnight. Okay? Something else is going on here. And of course, this is why some people just simply do not believe that they are all man-made. In 1996, we had this rather genetic-looking symbol, 89 circles spiralling around. And some people said it looked a bit like DNA, the double helix of genetic codes that make us what we are. And that set some people thinking, because we were talking earlier on about the scientific effects inside the crop itself. And one thing that the BLT research group has discovered is that if you take some of that affected seed and you plant it, and you grow another generation of crop on from it, some of those mutations carry on down the genetic line into the next generation of crops. Now that seems to suggest that there may be some kind of genetic alteration occurring in circle-affected crop. Combine harvesters are getting pretty good at picking up flat crop now, and some of this will go off, you know, into the food chain with the rest of the field. Nobody ever stops to think, should we eat this stuff? We just do. And some have said, well, you know, if there was some higher intelligence wanted to tamper with mankind's genetic development, maybe one thing it could do would be to drop something into the food chain. And all you can say to that idea is you better hope these guys are friendly. Because it's far too late to do anything about it now. And as I always say, you can think about that when you have your Weetabix tomorrow morning. Because you may be eating a bit of a crop circle. Still in 96, Stonehenge. There it is, up at the top. Very busy tourist site. The A303 road in the middle there, very busy road. And down below, this remarkable pattern. Let's get a closer look. It's 915 foot long from top to tail. Has 151 circles in it. What's most remarkable about this, aside from a number of other interesting mathematical properties, is that this would seem to have appeared within a 45-minute period in broad daylight in full view of Stonehenge and the eastbound carriageway of the A303. Now, we believe this because we have the testimony of the Stonehenge security staff, the farm manager and a pilot who all swear that that field was empty until at least 5:30 that afternoon. At around 5:30 there was no formation in that field. Shortly after 6 o'clock, barely 30 minutes to 45 minutes later, this had been seen. Cars were seeing it on the A303, pulling over onto the verge. People were going into the field to have a look at it. It had not been there all day. Well, first of all, this says two things. Number one, it is a myth that all crop circles appear at night. That's not true. There's a number of well-documented daylight occurrences. And the other thing is, if it takes, you know, 5 hours or so to make a formation about that long, there's no way you could make that in 45 minutes. Never mind the fact that you would be seen by all the people at Stonehenge and the people going east on the A303. So that may lead to two questions in your mind, maybe. One is, well, all right, has anybody ever seen a crop circle appearing? Has anybody ever videoed a crop circle appearing? Well, there are 24 eyewitness accounts of crop circles caught in the act of forming, if you like. Now, I've personally interviewed 4 of these people over the years, and I am convinced they're telling the truth. And the consistency of their stories, I think, is impressive, given that not one of them knew anybody else had seen this before. They all describe much the same thing, having a sense that it was about to happen just before it did, and then, in otherwise completely calm conditions, this incredible force coming out of nowhere, like an intense wind, hitting the field, spinning the crops down within seconds. Sometimes with light phenomena, and sometimes with a high-pitched whistling sound or a trilling, which has been associated with the crop circles on many occasions over the years. Now, when you look these people in the eye, it's pretty easy to see when somebody's pulling a fast one, and there have been people over the years who've made up stories, But when you look at most of these people, you can see they've had a profound experience. The fundamentalist skeptics insist that they are all liars, because they must be, because all crop circles are man-made, because they must be. And this is what we're continually up against, is that the very people you would like to actually sit down and say, well, look, just look at the evidence, won't even go near it. And it's a continual problem. And we met this in a very big way in 1996, when somebody finally claimed to have videoed a crop circle appearing. This is back at Oliver's Castle, near Devizes, and there is a video that purports to show this appearing. The story goes that a guy was out about 5:30 in the morning with a video camera. He saw lights, the classic lights, moving over the fields. And as he began to film, what the video shows is you see these two lights turn an arc over the field. There's nothing in the field, that's blank. And then this formation begins to appear from several different places at once and then goes shoo. And the whole thing is there within 7 seconds. And the whole thing is about, in total, about 15 seconds of shaky handheld footage. And what you have to say here is, number one, initially, everybody said, yes, we've got the evidence that we needed. Oh, we've got the evidence. Number two is that evidence, within about 3 weeks, was just being dismissed, again, by the sceptics as, well, obviously, you can do anything with special effects these days. You know, get a computer, anybody could do this. And it was dismissed as special effects. Now, over the years, there's been various rumours that the guy who made the video confessed, or, you know, he was this bloke here or that bloke here. Nobody can agree. Nobody's seen this confession video. No convincing evidence has come out one way or the other to show whether it was real or not. Special effects analysts looked at it. The Jim Henson's Workshop in Hollywood, you know, did the Muppets, but they also do special effects for films and that. They analysed it and they said, if this was man-made, it would have taken weeks to do on top-end equipment. And this was back in 1996. And yet this video was being shown in the pub on the same day the formation appeared. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. But once again, the sceptics just didn't even want to look at it. It was just dismissed as it had to be fake because it had to be. And unfortunately, this is something that we keep meeting over the years. And whatever the true status of this video, it deserved a better investigation than it received at the time. And it's still an open-ended question. And if there's time, if anybody comes to Pat Tom's group at the weekend, I may show that video and we'll talk about it. On the other hand, do you need videos to show you something interesting is going on when you've got things like this appearing? Here is a formation that maintains 100% geometrical integrity over an area of around 500 feet. So it's got 194 circles in it, this appeared in 1996. If you take the mathematical centres, not the swirl centres, they're always offset curiously, but the mathematical centres of these three circles, you can draw a perfect equilateral triangle. You can then go to the next three largest and draw another perfect equilateral triangle. You can then do it to the next three, and so on and so on. You can still draw a perfect equilateral triangle by linking up these end circles 500 feet away from each other. Now, if just one of these circles was misplaced, just one arm slightly kinked, that geometry would collapse. And yet, across such an area, it maintained 100% accuracy. And an architect will tell you what it would take to lay that out on the ground. And that is a point that we will come back to in a few minutes. Now, some formations are not beautiful, but they may be important. And in 1997, we had this, a place called Etchelhampton. And this is a grid split into 780 boxes. There are 26 along one side and 30 along the other. And unfortunately, this would appear to be a countdown to the end of the world. Because this is the Mayan calendar grid to the value of 3 zolkins, and a zolkin is a very important measurement of the ancient Mayan calendar. The ancient Mayans were master astronomers and mathematicians. And in their calendars, which they projected forward into the future, they had what they called the long count cycle. And they believe that the end of time occurs in what we in the West call the year 2012. 2012 is the year that the Mayan long count cycle ends. Actually, if you want a date, it's December the 21st, 2012. And a lot of people think something extraordinary is going to happen on this date. Various Native American groups have also said that this will be a time of the turning. Now, some people see this in catastrophic terms. It seems that the Mayans did. The end of this world and the beginning of life on some higher plane, but not here. Other people see it in a more spiritual transformation way. But whatever, 2012 is something which is looked at seriously by many people. And it is interesting just to note that there are some projections that the sunspot cycle and geological activity is expected to peak in some strange way in 2012. And if you're interested in that, I urge you to look at Jeff Stray's website. And he is one of the most diligent 2012 researchers. His website is diagnosis2012.co.uk, and it's really worth looking at if you want to see some of this stuff. Diagnosis2012.co.uk. So what do we make of this? And one interesting little coincidence, if you wish to call it that, not only is it three Zulkins, but if you take 26 as meaning 26 weeks, times that by 30, gives you a period of 15 years. 15 years from 1997, when this appeared, takes you to the year 2012. Other crop formations encode 2012 within the mathematics. Coincidence? Maybe. So you can see that some people see these in a very portentous light. And whether that's correct or not, only time will tell. But we've got 9 years. In 97, we had this beautiful design. Diagrams and photographs were sent of this to a US surveying company. And they were asked, if you were to reproduce this working at night, how long would you want to reproduce it? So they went away and they did some calculations. And they said, yeah, we'll give it a go. And they wanted a week and a half is how long they would want to get it this accurate. Now, even if that's a ridiculously liberal estimate, it just goes to show what a joke it is when these people come on the telly and say, yeah, I'll knock them out a couple of hours, mate. I'm sorry, but they don't. Because when they're challenged to, they will make something which is, as I say, a pale shadow of this kind of thing, and it will take them several hours to do it. And when you say, no, I want you to make like that, and you point to a particular formation, and they have been challenged on many occasions to replicate exact patterns, they never do. And they always say, no, we never replicate. And they'll make something that, looks superficially like it, but is just nowhere near the level of sophistication. Why not? All they're going to do is you say to them, make that, please, within, this set of circumstances. And they go and they make it, and it's perfect. And then you say, okay, you've got a fair case. They don't. Flunk it every time. Why? Why? Because they're not the people responsible for most of these. Just to show you, one of these little circles, I can't remember which one it is, but just to kind of zoom in on one of these little outer circles here, that's what it was like inside. Everything from the large to the small is thought about. This is not just something mucking about. When you look at the attention to detail in many of these formations, it really is breathtaking. It's not just a crudely crunched mess, very quickly downed. In 1998, we had this beautiful seven-sided symbol. That lovely shimmering you get inside is where the crop flows in different directions, and the sunlight catches it in sort of different ways. It really does look like that when you hover above them. It's not added in. Some people claim we've doctored these photographs, which incidentally have been taken by many researchers over the years here. I've been at several talks where they say, you've doctored these aren't real. Well, I'm sorry, but they are, and that's what they look like. And here's a quick shot of the inside of that. This still holds the record for having the single largest expanse of flattened crop ever found in one formation. 6,000 square metres of flat crop. Now, that's obviously rather a lot, and you can begin to understand from that why we now have diagnosed a condition in farmers which is known as circle rage. Because you might be a bit cheesed off yourself if you found that your field had been damaged to this degree. And obviously there's this battle between those who want to go in and look at the crop circles and the farming community who don't want lots of people trampling all over the field. So this is a difficult area. But imagine it's night, you've got to make that formation, you've got to position that petal over there perfectly, 300 feet away from this one over here. Where do you start? When you compare that to, say, something like this, you learn some interesting things.